Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is July the 22nd, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Hey, Justin.
Hello. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Yeah. Are you British? You just almost sounded British there. Did I? Hello.
I don't know. Got a little inspired, I think. We've been talking about all these theologians in here, and a lot of them come from Britain, so I thought maybe I would talk about them. Well, so
you're like them. You're from Texas, though.
There's not many great theologians from Texas.
No, there aren't many. There aren't many Texans with a British accent. That's what I'm saying.
This is very true.
Moving on.
So, want to go back to the sermon on Sunday. So, we've been in prayer for several weeks now. We started in John 17. Now we've been in the book of Luke. Mm-hmm. And this past week, you were preaching about the Holy Spirit in light of prayer. So would you give us a little bit of an overview in Luke chapter 11 for mm-hmm. 11, verse 11 through 13?
Yeah. Talking about Jesus giving the model prayer in Luke 11 and did some teaching on prayer about the generosity of God and calling on God our Father. He's the giver of good gifts. And Jesus said to that the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So, we're following a Trinitarian model here in prayer these last 3 weeks. We pray to our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. We pray through the mm-hmm. work of Jesus Christ, opening the door to the grace of God and in relationship with God in prayer. And then this week we talked about praying for the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So trying to understand what it means to pray for the Holy Spirit. And basically, if I had to sum up in just a very short paragraph, few sentences, praying for the Holy Spirit is, first of all, keeping in mind that the Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost and mm-hmm. that every child of God, every person of faith has the Holy Spirit. So praying for the Holy Spirit is not praying for another Pentecost or another being born again, another new birth. It is praying for the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. for which the Father sent the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so we are praying that the Holy Spirit will work his work that he came to do in the souls of people for salvation, for discipleship, for ministry, for missions, that the Holy Spirit will work more and more among us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That was a helpful sermon. We've talked about this already, but I really enjoy the very end of your sermon. You were discussing the dangers mm-hmm. when we talk about praying for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That was really helpful because, we all have different, perceptions of what the Holy Spirit looks like or the working of the Holy Spirit. And you talked a lot about personality, and it's not always this emotional experience. Sometimes it can be, doesn't mean mm-hmm. it is. And it's just very helpful to understand that the Holy Spirit can work in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Understand that.
I hope that was helpful. I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, putting that little section of the sermon in when I said, what are the dangers that we fall into, the errors that we fall into when praying for the Spirit? Because I didn't want to put a downer on a positive sermon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I have seen some of that error, and I've experienced some of it.
Yeah.
In making assumptions about the work of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that it's going to be emotional, it's mm-hmm. going to be highly expressive, it's going to be something that's very, very unusual in nature, those kinds of things. Yeah. And when you think that way and then it doesn't really happen that way, you kind of feel like you got to work it up.
Yeah.
And you get into manipulation and you get into all kinds of craziness. And so I hope that was helpful to say, I don't want to say that, that there's never an emotional expression or that it's never something that kind of rocks us back. Of course it is. Read the Bible. The workings of the Holy Spirit do rock us back often, but we just need to be careful. We don't assume it looks one way. That's my point.
Yeah, that's
good. Let God be God. Let the Spirit do his work.
Yeah. And you were talking at one point about how I'm sure everyone in the room at times feels like, or maybe in that on Sunday, that, the Holy Spirit's not working in my life. And you mentioned, do you think that Jesus is Lord and believe it? Yeah, then the Holy Spirit's working. And that was helpful too, probably maybe for the person that felt discouraged. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't feel like the Holy Spirit's working at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're present, you're reading the Bible, maybe God's revealing truth to you.
Yeah.
And he's working.
Yeah, I mean, the First John is very clear. The book of First John is very clear that no one confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is Lord, and mean it, you know, from the heart. Yeah. Nobody makes that confession unless God abides in that person.
Yeah.
And God's Spirit is at work in that person.
Yeah.
So, you know, Christians, we are always prone to say, it's not happening in my life. And then we get all, you know, worked up about it, when really we might be better served to say, thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
As evidenced by the fact that I can confess with all of my soul here that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
The Son of God and my Lord. Yeah. That's the work of the Spirit. Yeah. And so start by thanking the Lord for the power of the Spirit in our lives. Nobody's a Christian without the working of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was very helpful, even thinking about how I pray for my neighbors, how I pray for friends that I'm interacting with, that the Holy Spirit would work in their life, convict them of sin, of righteousness. Mm-hmm. So you spent the whole time, and the sermon was on praying for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to, let's say, the book of Jude, Jude, in that it mentions that pray in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So can you help us, like, what does it mean to pray
in the Spirit? Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point, because to be honest with you, as I was thinking about the sermon, I almost preached the sermon praying in the Holy Spirit. But I wanted to talk about praying for the Spirit, because it's in John 11 that way, and that's where we've been.
Right.
But that is a great question. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Again, I think there's some misunderstanding. I don't mean any disrespect to any people, friends, believing Christian people who might have a slightly different theology here on this. But some people think that praying in the Spirit means maybe praying in another language, or maybe even praying in ways that they don't themselves understand in some way. It's a spiritual prayer versus a prayer that engages the mind. I don't hold to that understanding of what it means to pray in the Spirit. I do think it's a term that means a lot, though.
Yeah.
So the passage you just made reference to is found in the book of Jude. And it says, you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and praying in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So that's just, it's a kind of a rapid-fire series of exhortations for believers in these days of people spreading false doctrine and going astray from the faith. And here's Jude giving this kind of rapid-fire exhortation, one of them being pray in the Spirit. So, you know, if you look at the whole of Scripture, to pray in the Spirit would certainly mean that we're praying because we're in the Spirit, because the Spirit dwells in us and we in Him. We abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. The Spirit is in us. So we're praying as born-again people.
Yeah.
To pray in the Spirit is to pray with the Holy Spirit prompting us to pray.
Yeah.
We can think of the passage in Romans 8. It's the Spirit in us that bears witness that we're the children of God, that we're heirs with Christ. And it's the Spirit in us that produces the adoption cry to the Heavenly Father, where we call Him Abba Father, praying to God our Father. So the Spirit prompts our praying. We could say that to pray in the Spirit is to pray with the aid and the help of the Spirit, because we're weak. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. And yet the Spirit is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. So we are sometimes sitting, you know, before the Lord with our own sense of loss, realizing at the same time, though, that we're not at a loss. We're not lost, because the Spirit is keeping us and the Spirit is praying for us. Certainly to pray in the Spirit means to pray yielding our lives to the Spirit, which would mean yielding our lives to the Word of God and being obedient, because the Spirit of God inspired the Word of God.
Yeah.
So there is a sense of praying with a personal yieldedness, seeking the glory of God, seeking the glory of Christ, yielding our lives over to Him, dying to self, you know, offering ourselves up as a spiritual sacrifice unto God. And we could also say that praying in the Spirit is praying in one accord with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that we're to pray in unity, we're to live in unity with one another around the gospel and praying for the same thing.
Yeah.
What does the Spirit prompt us to pray, that would be praying for in the mm-hmm. Spirit. I mean, Jesus said the Lord's Prayer, you know, Jesus said, pray that the kingdom of God will come, the will of God will be done on earth as it mm-hmm. is in heaven, that God's name will be honored and hallowed. So, mm-hmm. you know, all those things are, you know, praying the will of God that the Spirit has revealed to us in the Word would be another way of mm-hmm. saying we pray in the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You were mentioning this, you've mentioned several times the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's to pray in the Spirit. There's such a connection to the Word. Like, I think, you know, we talk a lot of this at Grace about praying the Word, like
yeah.
being in the Word and praying the Word. If we believe the Holy Spirit inspired the Word, couldn't we say that as you're praying the Bible, you're in a way praying
in the Spirit,
because yes. this is the things of God that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us through the Word, which is you're praying in the mm-hmm. Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus did that.
Yeah.
He came out of the wilderness, the 40 days of temptation. He came right. out of the wilderness. He went straight into a synagogue. He picked up the prophet. He read from the prophet, and he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It means that Jesus had been praying over the prophets to confirm and affirm and commit to his own calling.
Yeah.
Jesus prayed what the prophets prophesied about.
Yeah.
And then he got up and went and fulfilled it and lived it.
Hmm.
He was in the Spirit. In fact, it says he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, and the Spirit was with him there, and he came out preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he was preaching his own calling, his own purpose, hmm. which was based in what the Spirit revealed through the prophets.
Yeah.
I read somewhere this morning, I can't remember exactly who I was reading, but I was reading somewhere this morning that said, somebody said, if you are praying for the things of God, the kingdom of God. I was reading about both Matthew 6 and Luke 11, where Jesus says the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
As you're praying for those things, there's a direct connection between praying for the things of the Spirit and your own life being oriented around them.
Hmm.
It just stands to reason. If
yeah.
you're going to spend enough time really praying for the work of God's kingdom, the work of the Spirit in this world, and for it to come in its fullness at the return of Jesus, that prayer is going to orient your life so that you're going to be seeking those things, yielding to the Spirit. So yeah. it's all connected.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a great sermon about praying for the Spirit. This helps us. And the more I hear you talk, it's praying in the Spirit is, I don't want to use the word simple, but it's not, as you were saying at the end
yeah.
of your sermon, these loud, emotional, always, again, emotion can come with it when you're moved by the Spirit, but mm-hmm. praying in the Spirit isn't always look maybe this way, the stereotypical mm-hmm. way that we think.
Mm-hmm.
It's praying in unity, praying as a born again believer, being mm-hmm. prompted by the Spirit, praying in the Word. I mean, these are very mm-hmm. practical steps of praying in the Spirit.
So John Stott helped me with that mm-hmm. a lot, reading his writings over the years when I've read. He always warns against thinking that there is some division between praying using your mind and praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And sometimes people think that praying in the Spirit is praying in a way that you don't really understand,
mm-hmm.
that you're not really mentally engaged with.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of outside the mental processes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I think we can pray in the Spirit. We do. We pray in the Spirit as mentally as engaged
yeah.
As we can possibly be.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
Yeah.
So we're in the Spirit when our minds are fully engaged in what we're praying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we ever come, again, we're repeating ourselves, and I know
yeah.
we need to slow in this discussion, but do we ever not know what to pray? Yes, and we can trust that the Spirit is praying on our behalf.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we disengage the mind.
Yeah.
And as you said, some of just the practicalities of praying when we're praying in the Spirit.
Yeah. Well, great sermon. And this Sunday, where are you heading this Sunday?
We're going to talk about praying for the kingdom to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
So praying
so
for the
picking
kingdom.
Going back into Luke 11, where he says, Jesus is saying, pray to the Father, your kingdom come.
Good. Now, before we move on, and I want to end here, is you've been in a summer study
yeah.
on prayer, but if I'm right, the idea is to continue that a little
right.
bit.
Right. Month of August. Well, this Wednesday, we will have the member meeting.
Right.
But then the next Wednesday, which will be July the 31st, that Wednesday through the month of August. This summer study prayer meeting that we've had on Wednesday nights is just going to continue as the as a Wednesday night prayer meeting.
Great.
Until we begin community groups
again. Good. So if people are listening to this and may say, oh, I missed the summer study, well, you can come on and
Pray with us.
And pray with us, and it'll be a good time.
6:30
All the way through August. Great. Thanks, Scott.
All right.